This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
I wanted to ask you quickly about the news in this past month that Assata Shakur has been the first woman to be placed on by the FBI on the terrorist list. You represented her decades ago. Your thoughts? They've also increased the bounty for her. She took refuge in Cuba to $2 million.
Well, I've always felt that Assata Shakur was wrongfully convicted, so she shouldn't be on a wanted list at all. She never been should have been in prison. She was actually shot herself and wounded and paralyzed at the time that the person who she was convicted of killing was shot. So she obviously couldn't have shot him. And she also was arrested, which caused the incident, for about 8 different charges, which she later was found not guilty of or were dismissed. So I think it's unfortunate. Assata Shakur, I believe, will historically be proven to be a hero of our time.
Shoko Lumumba, we're going to have to leave it there. Mayor-elect of Jackson, Mississippi, thanks for joining us. I'll be at the 92nd Street Y tonight with Ralph Nader. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio with host Joanne Hardesty. Today's guest is Walter Nagel, partner of Bayard Rustin, a visionary strategist and activist who has been called the unknown hero of the civil rights movement. We'll talk about the film Brother Outsider, about the life and work of Bayard Rustin. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Merrillhurst University, the university for grown-ups, where it's never too late to earn a bachelor's or master's degree to achieve your dreams. Adults of all ages choose Merrillhurst to gain knowledge from professors who practice what they teach. Now enrolling for fall term. Information at merrillhurst.edu/KBOO.
Tune in to Shocks of Sheba this Thursday, June 6th at noon as we share an exclusive interview with reggae legend Max Romeo. Again, that's this Thursday, June 6th, Shocks of Sheba with Max Romeo, a KBOO exclusive.
At KBOO.FM, you can listen to programs you missed and other special web-only programs. On the homepage, under the tab Latest Audio, you'll find an interview with the Manhattan Transfer, a 1983 speech by Gloria Martin, one of the founders of Radical Women, an interview about the Merry Meet Gathering, and more. That's KBOO.FM, under Latest Audio. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. It is my pleasure today to have a program that celebrates the 43rd annual Portland Pride celebration and parade that will take place starting June 15th and 16th. And actually, I understand there's a whole lot of events that are going to take place throughout the week. It is my pleasure to have as guest today Walter Nagel, Khalid Edwards, who's the racial justice organizer with PFLAG, and Deborah Porter, who's president of Pride Northwest. Welcome to the studio, you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Walter, welcome. from the wonderful sunny New York City. Thank you for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
And so first, let's start with, for anybody who's been living under a rock, what is Portland Pride?
Portland Pride is the annual celebration that began after the Stonewall riots in New York City to commemorate that event. And Portland began having that commemoration in 1970, and we've just continued since then. And it's the annual celebration and visibility sort of centerpiece of the LGBT community.
It's pretty impressive, 43 years, huh? Mm-hmm. And there's also a Black Pride in association with Portland Pride, is that correct?
Yeah, so Portland Black Pride, which seeks to celebrate the achievements and accomplishments of Black LGBT and same gender loving folks here in throughout Portland and across the country, and we are partnering with Portland Pride and Pride Northwest on an event, and also have a whole slew of events for Portland Black Pride happening June 19th through June 23rd.
Wonderful. And I want to give Walter an opportunity to talk about the partnership of a screening of Brother Outside, the life of Bernard Bayard Rustin. And it will have a special screening with Walter Nigel in person on Wednesday, June 12th at 7 p.m. at Portland State University at Smith Memorial Student Union. And so, Walter, tell us a little bit about your project.
Well, Brother Outsider, The Life of Bayard Rustin, is a documentary film that was 10 years old in January of this year. Is not a film that I made. It was produced and directed by Bennett Singer, a New York-based filmmaker, and Nancy Cates, who was based in San Francisco. I, as Mr. Rustin's surviving partner, had a lot of information, a lot of material, photographs, contacts with people. So I was kind of a resource for them, mm-hmm. but it was not a film that, you know, I produced or directed or had investment. And I pretty much gave them, you know, license to pursue their own path, if you will, about Mr. Rustin's life.
Right.
And as I say, it's been around for 10 years now, which is, you know, a very long life for a documentary film. And I think part of the reason for that is because Mr. Rustin was a man of many hats. He was an openly gay Black man, a close advisor to Dr. Martin Luther King, a civil rights activist from the time that he was a teenager. He was also involved in the peace movement. He became involved in gay rights issues very late in his life. So he has many identities, and I think that's part of what the appeal of the film is. And there are many corporations and law firms that are now using it sort of as a diversity tool, partly because of his many hats and many identities.
Wow, very cool. So were you pleased with the result of the documentary?
Yes, I think I was overall. To really do a complete film about Bayard's life, it would probably have to be a miniseries. given the constraints of public broadcasting, the film is about 84 minutes, and I think they really did a good job of really capturing his essence, if you will, mm-hmm. and what he stood for and his values.
And wow, I just thinking about the 60s during the time of Dr. Martin Luther King, it just seems inconceivable that all the battles that he took on during that time period. I mean, to be an openly gay Black man in that time period, well, to be openly gay at any color in that time period was dangerous, and especially as Bayard Rustin was.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to the film, and we're looking forward to, is there a discussion afterwards?
Yeah, there's going to be some discussion. We have a great event planned, and part of that is going to be some discussion and also an opportunity for folks to have a discussion afterwards after seeing the film, and an opportunity to, like a meet and greet opportunity to mm-hmm. Talk with Mr. Walter Nagel as well. So it's going to be a really nice event, and we are... having folks from the community that will be speaking a little bit and talking about just the importance of who Bayard Rustin is and the impact and his legacy on our history, which so many folks don't necessarily know a lot of information about. I myself didn't learn about him until after college, and I knew about the civil rights movement, about Martin Luther King, about the March on Washington early in life. And so I think it's really interesting that it took me this long to find out about for someone that was so instrumental in all of those things.
Absolutely true. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. I would imagine that there's a lot to celebrate this year. There seems to be a tide shifting as far as gay rights in this country. I know here in Oregon, we're getting ready to do an initiative campaign that's going to put in front of the voters once again, which, let me just say, I'm kind of appalled that we would actually be voting on people's constitutional rights. Let me just say that for the record. But the fact that we have to, because of the previous vote that put the Defense of Marriage Act into our Constitution here, we in Oregon are about to go down this path again in 2014. Mm-hmm. But as we've seen what's happened over the last election cycle, there's got to be hope. There's got to be a lot of hope that change is in the wind.
Well, definitely. Even just in my lifetime, the world is a completely different place. I grew up in the South, and we would never be having these conversations. Mm. And just to be able to sit here and have them talking about history that people aren't aware of,
right,
at the same time that we're also talking about how much progress has been made, mm-hmm, but being aware of how much further we need to go,
right,
just all at one time, just having the discussions themselves would not have been happening.
Right.
And that in and of itself is a large step forward.
Mm-hmm. And Walter, how do you feel about this? Do you want to weigh in on this topic?
Sure. I think the amount of progress that's been made, you know, just in the last 10, 15 years has been remarkable. I mean, mm-hmm, the speed at which things have taken place and things have changed and things have progressed. And I think part of the reason is because I think the LGBT movement really learned some lessons from Bayard's experience, and very specifically that was that, you know, if you're a minority group, any kind of minority group, whether it's racial or religious or ethnic or LGBT or anything, you know, you're not going to win your rights by yourself. You really need to build allies and build coalitions and, you know, educate people about why it is important for them to support your struggle, even though it may not be their personal struggle. Mm-hmm. And that was something he knew and learned back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And that's why when the March on Washington came about, I mean, you had labor people there, you had religious people, educational groups, community groups, all kinds of people, and all, you know, all colors of people there.
Right.
Because Bayard had really worked for 20 or 30 years before that, really building alliances and building coalitions. And so it's really important to maximize your friends, if you will, and kind of minimize your enemies if you're trying to build a movement.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. And it's kind of hard to believe that it's 50 years this year since the March on Washington. It's that's kind of a light bulb moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have a caller on the line, so we're going to go to the phone line. If someone else would like to join the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. Good morning, Sean. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning. Hey, I'll confess up front that, in my opinion, identity politics take away from the struggles against capitalism and imperialism. So I'll say that right up front. However, my question is, isn't the gay community at all concerned about the fact that as the American middle class and poor people have just been catching hell for the last 30 years, that it appears the gay community seems to be celebrating its victories in the midst of economic devastation, and far from advancing the cause of working class and poor people, it seems like the homosexual community is perfectly willing to just advance and, you know, and make its progress while poor people and working class people suffer. So isn't that a concern? I read Byron Rustin's biography in my Encyclopedia of the American Left, and it sounds like he was actually a neoconservative. That was really disgusting and surprising to me. Thanks.
Appreciate your call, but but let me just caution you. You know, whenever we talk about people as a collective, like gay people, it's like that's it. No one can answer for all the gay people. I don't answer for all the black people, and I don't think anybody. But I will give my guest an opportunity to respond to.
I will say that the LGBT community is a part of all communities, and while this progress, and I think Deborah spoke to this somewhat, but while progress is being made in some of the issues that impact the lives of LGBT folks throughout the country and throughout our state, we also see this dichotomy that LGBT folks are living with huge disparities and are working to overcome those huge disparities. And they are part of the working class and are a part of the middle class as well, and are dealing with, multiplying effects of that disparity within our communities right here in Oregon. And we know recently PFLAG Portland Black Chapter and the Urban League of Portland did released a groundbreaking report on the experiences of Black LGBT Oregonians, really highlighting the disparities and the experiences of Black LGBT Oregonians, and looking at how folks are raising families on very little income and are dealing with huge inequities around health and many other issues. So as was pointed out before, there's a long way to go, and while strides are being made for folks, we still see folks that are living on the very huge margins of our society and dealing with many of these issues that we are working towards trying to overcome.
And I would add that, Byron was someone who spoke out against identity politics in the sense that, you know, to the degree that it becomes your sole focus and you ignore other people's struggles or other issues, then it is, it is problematic. And he was not somebody that did that. Calling him a neoconservative, it's hard to say what exactly the caller was talking about. I think in terms of some foreign policy issues, he identified with some positions that some neoconservatives took. He was an anti-communist. But in terms of social programs here at home, Great Society, the programs that were built on the Great Society, welfare reform, health care, education, he was very progressive on those issues. He didn't take conservative positions on those issues at all.
And I think it was Audre Lorde that said, we cannot be a single issue people in a single issue community. And Byron Rustin certainly lived that throughout his entire lifetime. And I know that folks within the LGBT community have a deep understanding of that, and understand that there are many issues, many issues that we are all fighting for.
Right. And I think one of the interesting things about the film and the opportunity for the dialogue afterwards is that there's a lot, we didn't talk a lot about gay rights during the civil rights movement, right? Well, of course, we weren't talking about we were trying to get rights for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. That wasn't white, middle class, straight male, right? Women were trying to get rights. People of color were trying to get rights. But I think my point is that at this moment in time, to be able to deal with race and gender identity issues in a dialogue, in a conversation, can only be a positive for us, because it certainly broadens the conversation, which should be, right? It should be about civil rights for everybody, and how we respect everybody's ability to obtain their civil rights. We have several callers lined up, so we're going to go back to the phone line. I'm sorry, who? Marie, welcome to KBOO, Marie.
Yes, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I want to say some wonderful pro-Martin Luther King things are just gorgeous, but before that, I'm so proud of Bradley Manning that I hope the rest of my life I can join every pride parade there is anywhere And I hope there's double and triple the amount of people at the Pride Parade, in the Black Pride Parade as well. And so this segues right into Martin Luther King's quote here, and it also segues into what Sean was saying, and I think Sean was sincere, but this is kind of like more light on the truth, this quote of Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. He says, and this is from his, I believe, from a letter from the Birmingham jail. His quote is, quote, "Injustice anywhere is a threat mm-hmm. to justice everywhere.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny." And then two more things to quote for you all. I'm actually reading this. I'm a progressive Catholic. A lot of people think Catholics are all negative, but there's a lot of really smart progressive Catholics, very pro helping the gay people, very pro all the minorities. And this is something I didn't know Martin Luther King said, but this is for those conservative Christians out there. He says, citing St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas, he proclaimed, Martin Luther proclaimed, "An unjust law is no law at all." Mm-hmm. And then the paragraph goes on. It says, "Recall that the Jim Crow South used lynching, police violence, denial of the right to vote, and denial of educational resources to enforce a culture of injustice." So I am so proud of Martin Luther King. I'm learning more and more about him, and I'm so proud. If he helped support a gay person at that time, it means he was ahead of his time. And I think it's time for us to catch up to Martin Luther King.
Thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
I think we're going to... Any comments or before we go back to the phone line?
I just want to reiterate that that is very true. Injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere, and that you know, to live that and know that is very important in our time, and that was something that Bayard Rustin was truly about. And as Mr. Walter Nagel expressed before, that, you know, he had these broad coalitions and actually did not. Was not directly involved in the LGBT movement until later in his life. So really lived that understanding, like, we all are in each other's fight, and mm-hmm. all of our fights are each other's fight. Mm-hmm. And just another comment from what the caller had said is that you know, I want there to be an understanding that we know that there's broad support for LGBT equity and equality among many different religious paths, including the Christian and Catholic communities, and that's often a stereotype that gets put out there. We know mm-hmm. there's homophobia within all of our communities, and there's also acceptance within all of our communities.
Yep. Very good point. One point I wanted to make was I appreciate that the caller is expanding her understanding of Dr. Martin Luther King, but there's so many people who had a vision in that time that I hope that she won't limit herself to just the well-known names mm-hmm. of people that are in the history books, because just like you, I learned about Black history after I got out of school. It wasn't part of my curriculum mm-hmm. and learning. And as I talk to young kids in school today, there's a huge deficit in what they don't learn in mm-hmm. the classroom about our history in this country. And it's frightening, because I think that causes some of the problems that we have with young people. Because if you don't understand your history, you are, in fact, doomed to repeat it.
Right.
So we're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Brian. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How's
everybody?
Wonderful.
Hey, so listen, you know, I don't want to dwell on it, you know, I guess it's becoming that, but that first caller was incredible. But, you know, I grew up under the tutelage of Abbie Hoffman through his books, and of course, you know, I was a little bit aware about all the news and everything going on, but, you know, Abbie cut his teeth in civil rights. And, you know, the thing is I could probably say this and find a quote somewhere, but any victory is, you know, for our side, is a victory for us all. And, you know, I mean, when the gay community, the LGBT community has a victory, it's a victory for me. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when this group gets civil rights, when they become, you know, more successful, there's a chance that my, you know, the interests that I have, the liberal interests I have, are going to wake up and say, look, it's a shining example to me, and I'm not just being overzealous here. It's a shining example that all this has happened in the gay community in the last 10 years. There's been some great strides, and the rest of us, you know, environmentalists, et cetera, need to take note of this and see that we can do it. Because there's, you know, that it provides, it's been one of the glimmers of hope for me in the last few years.
I agree with that. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You do the same. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. If you're just joining us, we are talking with Walter Nagel, who will be in Portland on Wednesday, June 12th at 7 p.m. at a screening of Brother Outside, The Life of Baynard Rustin. We also have in the studio Khalid Edwards, who's the racial justice organizer with PFLAG, and Deborah Porter, who's president of Pride Northwest. Mm-hmm. Deborah, did you want to get in? I do want to find out, Deborah, what else is happening? I understand there's a week of activities. We can't wait to have Mr. Nagel here, but what else is going to be happening next week?
It's a pretty full week. We have this coming Sunday, we have a community conversation that's a collaboration between Pride Northwest, United Way, and the AARP.
Oh.
It's a relatively broad dialogue that'll be happening on Saturday, or excuse me, Sunday, at PCC Cascade. And anyone who's interested in attending and being part of that mm-hmm. can email me directly. And I'm assuming we'll give that information in a bit.
Yes, yes. And I do have your website on, I have the information for your website on the Facebook, on our Facebook page for Voices mm-hmm. from the Edge, as well as the KBOO website.
Okay. The goal of that event is actually to create a small report for the governor's office to serve as a basis for further dialogue and further work, policy work around the LGBT community and a broad range of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the week, we have Brother Outsider on Wednesday. Thursday, we have the Comedy Showcase. Let's see if I list them all off. Friday, Avenue Q is putting on a production that's happening that will be benefiting Pride Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the festival that opens on Saturday. Saturday night, there's two big parties at the Crystal Ballroom.
Wow.
Sunday is the parade. Kickoff is at 11, which is a little bit earlier in the past. We have grown so much in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
The parade is 3 hours long.
Wow.
It's almost as long as San Francisco's.
Wow, very cool.
And it's just, the city just, there's never lacking of something to do this entire week.
And did you want to add anything, Khalid?
Yeah, I just want to say we will be a part of those events as well as Portland Black Pride. We're partnering, as we all know, for the June 12th event. I'm very excited about that. We'll be a part of the parade and very excited about that as well. And June 19th to the 23rd, we have a series of events for Portland Black Pride, starting with the kickoff party on Wednesday. And Thursday, we're having a series of downtown events, including a game night with the spades tournament with some great prizes and a dance party downtown as well, and a few more parties throughout Friday. And very exciting is on Saturday we're having our second annual Black LGBT QA Summit with a series of workshops and speakers and entertainment and lots of great stuff there for folks to really engage in different points of dialogue and get some skill building and some analysis building and learn about some things and just kind of come together and talk about a range of issues that impact the Black LGBT community. And on Sunday, one of our hugest events or one of our most anticipated events is our Picnic in the Park on Sunday, June 23rd, happening at Kenton Park, which is, it's called Families of Color Day Out, and it's always a really beautiful event where, you know, lots of families come out to really just have fun in the park and enjoy each other and connect and continue to build community. And we know that within Portland and you know, within many other places, sometimes it can be challenging to build community for LGBT people of color and LGBT African Americans. And so we really strive to do that in as many ways as we can. And this provides an opportunity to continue to do that and for ways to get connected and not for folks to not feel so isolated within their community.
And you should tell people what PFLAG mission is.
So PFLAG, Portland Black Chapter, stands for Parents, Friends, and Families of Lesbians and Gays. And we work to provide education and resources and support and advocacy to the Black LGBT community, and also parents, friends, and families of folks within the Black LGBT community. We do this through a myriad of ways. And there's, I'm not sure if that's on the website or not, but there's many ways to get connected with us and to find out how to be more involved in some of the amazing things that we've been doing. We've only been in existence for 4 years now, and it's pretty exciting, a lot of the accomplishments that we've had in that short time. And we are actually the first African-American-specific chapter of PFLAG in the country, so that's pretty exciting, and we've been able to do some really fabulous things in that time, and also been able to really provide resources and support to a community that needs it and has embraced it. So get connected with that, and also get connected with Portland Black Pride as well.
Excellent. So as you can hear, there's a lot coming up. I want to give Walter Nigel an opportunity to talk a little bit about what we can anticipate from the film. So I don't want you to give us any secrets away, but I do want to kind of whet people's appetite for both the documentary as well as the dialogue that would happen afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, I'll try not to give any spoiler alert.
Yeah, right.
I think what people are going to see is that, you know, Byard, like all of us, was a complicated and a complex person. Mm-hmm. But underneath all of that complexity, there were some very basic values that were instilled in him as a young person, and it was those values that he adhered to and were the motivation for the work that he did throughout his life. I'm looking forward. I hope some of the callers will come to the film. I think there are some things that people could learn about Dr. King, as well as Byard's relationship to Dr. King. And I think, we can have some interesting discussion and interesting questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that some of the people that have called in and your other listeners will be able to come out for the event.
I'm sure that you're going to have standing room only, no question. We do have another caller on the line. Hello, John. Welcome to K-Boo.
Hi. Great show.
Thank you.
Martin Luther King is one of my big heroes, and I want to reiterate that Martin Luther King, it seems to me, always said it, hey, we have to vote each and every election, and please emphasize that with everyone that you run into. Because if we don't, they'll take it away from us. And another one is, which I'm glad to hear, is that I'm glad you're pulling people together, because we got to stay together, mm-hmm. we the 98-99%, because they're going to try and divide us wherever they can. And thank you very much for the program, and keep up the great work.
Thank Bye-bye. You. Appreciate your call. I tell you, I'm one of those people that are always, you got to vote, you got to vote, you got to vote. But, man, I'm beginning to wonder why. But maybe I'm just having a cynical moment.
It's too early in the morning.
Yeah, actually, right. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just too early in the morning. But, I mean, that's been my mantra for, you know, most of my adult life. Being a child of the Civil Rights Movement, I can't help but vote. But I got to tell you, when you continue to see the outcomes of your vote just destroyed, it makes you want something else.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another program. We will talk about that one on another day. But so one of my questions is, how do we make this Pride event an event that is a celebration of
Portland, right? All that we are, right? I mean, it, and I think that that's the goal, right? Is to mm-hmm. just really to be able to highlight like the best of who we are. I remember early on, there was always this big sense of excitement around the Pride. And in fact, when I first got here, I remember one of the big things was when Tom Potter marched in the parade in uniform, right? Yep. I mean, that was like front page news that the police of chief marched in the parade in uniform in support of his daughter, who was a police officer at the time as well. How does this year compare to those other years, you think?
This year, the excitement this year is actually pretty high. Mm. I think a lot of it has to do with the progress that's being made, along with a realization that there's a lot more to do, mm-hmm. and we're going to have to be out there doing it. Mm-hmm. The visibility, that's, Pride exists to give that visibility and to allow the community to come together and say, we're here.
Mm-hmm. And we're not going anywhere.
Right, exactly. this year, it's every year, is especially the last, I've been involved for going on 7 years, mm-hmm. and every year there's a new milestone that happens, mm-hmm. especially with the parade,
uh-huh.
That people don't, sometimes I think they don't think about. Like, for example, the Portland Fire Department right. is marching this year. They've never marched before.
Wow. Well, we actually have a female fire chief, which may have something to do with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've. There's a lot of work that's been happening in the department.
Thank you.
Yeah. So just there's sort of singular things that just every mm-hmm. year sort of adds to who's becoming involved, and I can't speak to exactly why things become easier for organizations, entities to get involved that might not have been before, mm-hmm. but each year something breaks, some barrier's broken, mm-hmm. and it continues to expand.
Well, that is exciting.
Well,
that,
it is.
That is exciting.
We look forward to that. And right. at the same time, we run into finding out that other organizations or other entities, other leadership, they're not quite there. Mm-hmm. They're not ready.
Yeah.
And
so I don't want you to out anybody, but I am curious as to, I mean, you know, there's some, you know, there. Are there some people that just shocked you that they weren't there?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just leave it there. Because there will be a 44th, and we do want to make sure that we're not annoying potential sponsors who just haven't evolved yet. But by next year, who knows? They may in fact be there. So what's the size of this parade? How many people participate?
It varies because contingents, you'll right. have, like, for example, we have, Nike will come and they're going to have 500 people.
Wow.
And then you'll have this faith community over here that may have 10. So right. it just really, it's in the thousands.
Mm-hmm.
We have 125 entries, contingents.
Uh-huh.
And it just goes on. Last year on the street, the last 2 years, police estimate that we had about 25,000 people watching the parade.
Wow.
And then you add that, yeah.
Wow, very mm-hmm. cool. I remember one year it happened around the same time that the Race for the Cure was happening. Because I just remember that coming back, and it was like, it was the same Sunday. Yeah, it was the same Sunday. But that was some years ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And I think it's very great to see, as we know, there's like a lot of work to be done, and we will continue to do that work, and we're continuing to do that work every day and mm-hmm. continue to talk to folks and change folks' hearts and minds and engage in those dialogues and conversations to move folks towards acceptance and support. But it's also very exciting to see visually see the huge support from allies mm-hmm. that are in the parade and that are marching along with folks and marching along with the different contingencies and different groups, and just to see that visual support mm-hmm. of folks from the community. It's very inspiring.
Oh, yeah, because it's so easy to feel like you're in it by yourself and like mm-hmm. nobody else is paying attention, nobody really cares about this, and you're fighting this battle alone. And, yeah, I bet it is pretty cool to look out and say, okay.
Well, I want to add the Pride Parade and the festival, it's also the moment that our community itself mm-hmm. comes back together and says, oh, we made it through this last year. Let's come, and we're going to draw from each other,
right.
and we're going to remember that we're not by ourselves.
Right.
And we're going to go and make it through the next year.
All right.
And keep moving. And that's really important for our young people.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Every year someone's going to tell me that it's the first time that they had a person of faith.
That's right.
Even look at them and smile, much less,
right.
You know, it really does become the sort of linchpin of being able to move forward.
And we all need that kind of support, especially mm-hmm. if you're involved in movement building work. So you want to know what's coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 is Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, host Pear talks about the problems that happen when powers such as the U.S. and Britain play both sides in the terror game. At 10 is Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoint presents an update on the military whistleblower trial of Bradley Manning and a look at growing violence in Iraq, with more than 1,000 people killed in May. At 11 on Between the Covers, author Mary V. Sullivan talks about her new novel, The Mango Bride. At 11:30 on Black Book Talk, legendary author Maya Angelou talks about Mom and Me and Mom, her book about her relationship with her mother. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you haven't become a member yet, just go to kboo.fm, click the tip jar, and become a member that way. I'm excited that there are just so many activities for people to get involved in. So if you're a party kind of person, mm-hmm. there's evening activities for you. If you're a festival and you want to bring the family out and you want to walk in that beautiful sunshine that we know we're going to have next week, right? Because you got it on good notice, right? That sun will be shining next week.
It's been promised.
That's right.
And we've got this fabulous documentary that we certainly are looking forward to being able to watch and being able to have dialogue about. I'm curious, Walter, as you've traveled around with this documentary, you said that it's being used in some places as a diversity training tool. Is it mm-hmm. being shown in schools? Is there a curriculum for elementary, middle school students?
Yes, actually, Bennett Singer, at least here in New York City, has partnered with the Human Rights Watch and with GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, and with a lot of gay straight alliances, so it has made its way into a lot of schools. I know out in California, they issued an expanded version of the film on DVD with additional footage and additional interviews and some resource materials for teachers. So people are working, you know, to get it into the public school system. I know that the Bennett and Nancy are both working on another expanded edition, which will even build on what was already done in California, mm-hmm. so that there will be a lot of resources available for people who want to use it in the classroom.
Wonderful. So, Walter, how was your life impacted by being a partner of Bayard Rustin?
Well, it certainly opened my eyes to a lot of things. He and I had a lot in common in terms of our values and our political beliefs. I knew who he was when I was growing up mm-hmm. because I grew up during the 60s and his name was in the paper mm-hmm. because of his civil rights and his peace work. Mm-hmm. So I was aware of who he was. But, you know, just being with him, I mean, it opened a lot of doors to me in terms of people that I was introduced to and certainly new issues and activities. And it certainly was a tremendous political education.
Mm-hmm.
I traveled with him sometimes. We went to different parts of the world to investigate situations involving refugees and people displaced by conflict, as well as human rights missions. We traveled to South Africa together. We were in Grenada after the invasion. We were in El Salvador looking into people displaced by the war. So it certainly broadened my perspective and opened my eyes to a lot of things in the world.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that your life took a different direction because of that relationship? Because of that eye-opening opportunities?
I wouldn't say that it took a different direction. It just expanded the direction that I was going in. Okay. But I think I was pretty well set on my course even before I met him.
Cool. And, you know, I was looking for info about you, and I couldn't find much info about you. And I was like, why is that? I want to know who Walter Nigel is.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, did you Google my name? There are lots of hits.
I did, but everything came up in relationship to the film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I just right. I just found that interesting because I want to know who I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fine. That's fine. Well, I do quite a bit of photography on the side, so there's quite a few of my images are up on the web. Some of which were done of Mr. Rustin. Some of the portraits have been done later in his life that have been used in the film, as well as in other areas, were done by me.
Mm-hmm.
I spent most of my life working in nonprofit organizations, educational institutions, hospitals, and right now I'm working part-time for the American Friends Service Committee, which I think your listeners are probably familiar with.
Oh, yes.
And mm-hmm. also with the New York Yearly Meeting of the Religious Society of Friends, the Quakers, of which Bard was a member from his early childhood. So it's been mostly, I would say, in the nonprofit and service areas, if you will.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, that actually helps me understand a bit about who you are. I appreciate you sharing that. Didn't want to pull it, but thank you. And so we have, about 10 more minutes to remind people of the 43rd Annual Portland Pride Parade and Festival. So we want to give people kind of a rundown. There's next weekend, and who wants to start?
Well, our activities begin this next Sunday. There's the community conversation. There's Trekapalooza, which is just a big, it's an LGBT Star Trek party.
Now that gave me a visual.
And there's the you have the film screening on Wednesday. We have the comedy showcase on Thursday. I'm sure I'm going to forget something. All of our events are actually listed on our website.
And the website is www.pridenorthwest.org.
PrideNW.org.
PrideNW.org, yes.
And they're all listed with date, ticket, any ticket information that might be necessary, location, all of that. Then we have the two big dance parties on Saturday. Also, this is going back to new things that happen every year.
Mm-hmm.
The Portland Children's Museum
mm-hmm.
is doing their very first LGBT family night.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Very Pride cool. weekend. And admission is free. So definitely, Pride Northwest spends a lot of time supporting our young people, children, families.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd really encourage people to go to that and to support the museum and the efforts that they're making.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to recognize that.
Yeah. Yeah. Want to recognize good behavior.
Yes.
And okay, Kalee.
Yeah. So the information as well can be found on the website, which is www.pflagpdx.org, as well as PFLAG Portland Black Chapter Facebook or Portland Black Pride Facebook. But just a quick rundown, we are part of Pride Northwest on June 12th with this event that we're talking about today, and we will have a booth and be marching in the parade the 15th and the 16th. We really encourage folks to get connected and march with us so we can be a part of that 25,000 on June 16th, and we have some exciting things happening during the parade. But also, June 19th to the 23rd is our week of events, and it's a Wednesday kickoff party happening at the local lounge, and it's featuring the Queens of the Night with some amazing performances happening. And Thursday we're having a card and dominoes tournament, as well as a hip hop explosion dance party at another location near that downtown at CC Slaughter's. On Friday, we have two dance party events. One is Rice Beans and Collard Greens, which is a queer and trans people of color dance party. It's in partnership with Basic Rights Oregon and Asian Pacific Islander Pride, Portland Latino Gay Pride, Portland Two-Spirit Society, and Portland Black Pride, of course. and another party as well that Friday night in partnership with an organization or a group, Crossover, which is a group of black lesbian women who have been doing social gatherings for the past few years. So we're excited to partner with those folks. On Saturday is the summit, and it's going to be an engaging series of workshops all day that day. We hope folks can register for that and be a part of that. We have some really exciting workshops on hand, and it'll be featuring a keynote from Kennedy Davenport, who is coming from out of state to share a part of her life story and her experiences as being a really prominent drag queen throughout her life. And on Saturday evening is an extravaganza. We're having a ball, and if folks are not familiar with the ball scene, I encourage them to find out more about that. But and that's also going to be featuring Kennedy Davenport, who's going to be a part of that as well. And that's going to be a very fun night on Saturday night at the extravaganza. And on Sunday, we have the Families of Color Day Out, which is a way to celebrate all our families and folks to come out. Last year, my team won at kickball, which I'm still holding on to that and hoping to continue that reign again this year. But it's food and fun and music. And several of the events that we have scheduled are free to everyone. So we encourage folks to find out more and really come out and celebrate with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a wonderful education, entertainment, community building week of activities.
That's
and you're
going
to be exhausted at the end.
Yes.
But what a Indeed. Problem to have, right? Yes. Right. Well, I it's been wonderful watching the growth of this festival and this really this community celebration. And I thank you both for the hard work that you've done to make the 43rd one possible. It's amazing to think 43 years. But you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, Kali, and I'm going to be putting you on the spot because you know we only got a couple of minutes left. it's ironic because as I sit here today, I think about when Barack Obama was elected president, when he was elected president, the assumption was that race had disappeared as an issue. So I guess it's a cautionary tale, right, to say that what we've learned from the civil rights movement is that laws by themselves don't change behavior, mm-hmm. right? And so while we're celebrating the law changes that we've won, we have to remember that the work won't stop then. Mm-hmm. Just like we're not post-racial now, we certainly will not be post-discrimination and homophobia, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so the work
and transphobia,
and transphobia, mm-hmm. all that work will continue. And I want to give a special thank to
Walter Nagel.
Walter, thank you, Nagel, for joining us today from New York. We're so looking forward to you being in town next week and really look forward to the conversation that happens afterwards.
Well, thank you. It sounds like you have a lot going on out there. Maybe I'll have to leave New York.
I was going to say, you may have to... May
a
have
quiet
to
town compared to Portland.
I
want to encourage... anybody in the community who's listening who maybe knew Mr. Rustin or worked with him or marched with him or did something with him to please, come and join us at the event and
mm-hmm. Very
let
cool.
us know. You know, let us know if you went to the March on Washington and what your experience was. So let's get the troops out for this.
Yes, yes, yes. We have to rally the troops. Safe travels for you, Walter,
Thank you. We
look forward to having that conversation with you. Any last words, any last, I guess I'm just trying to figure out what, so if somebody's on a fence, like, should I really come to this? What would you tell them, Walter? What would you say is that, if nothing else, you should come because...
Well, I think you'll learn an awful lot about really the history of the 20th century. I mean, Byard's mm-hmm. life, you know, it was pretty much 75 years sort of in between the two centuries, and all of the big issues, you know, the two world wars, the peace movement, the civil rights movement, the LGBT movement,
these issues of separatism in the African-American community. There's footage of him debating Malcolm X in the film. There's footage of him debating Stokely Carmichael. I mean, there's just an awful lot of material. So no matter what your interest was or whether you lived through that period, I think, you know, it could really be enlightening and educational. So I hope you'll come out.
Mm-hmm. I hope they will as well. And did you want to give a phone number, Deborah? You don't have to, but if you want to. You mentioned earlier you were going to give a phone number, so only if you want to. Otherwise, the website we've given out, and you can give that out again as well.
Yeah, the website is definitely the best place to go. And the Pride Guide has now come out in the Willamette Week. It came out yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And that has all of the information, all of the maps, addresses, dates, descriptions of the events. That's the thing to go to is the Pride Guide.
Okay, if you're not going to Pride Northwest website, then you're going to Willamette Week's Pride Guide.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it has been a real pleasure having you both. I guess we've still got a couple
I just
minutes
want,
left.
Oh, I was okay, just going to add, check out everything at the websites, through the different websites that we've shared with folks, and the Willamette Week Pride Guide, and also PQ Monthly is coming out with their Pride issue, I believe, next week. That comes out early next week?
Yeah, it comes out next Thursday.
Next Thursday, yes. So they're also online as well. So check out PQ Monthly. And also, I just want to say that a lot of times we're given our history, mm-hmm. and we spoke to this earlier. And so I think this is an important event to really expand the history that we're often given. Bayard Rustin is someone that touched a lot of lives and really is a key part of our United States history and an important part of that history. And we don't know that. And it's important for all of us to know that just as much as we know about the folks that we are given the history of and just as important. Mm-hmm. And also the folks that we're given the history of that we might not necessarily need to be given their history. But I won't necessarily go there.
No, we're not. Well, I mean, but it is kind of sad that, I don't know, good news, bad news. I guess the good news is that the information is out there.
Yeah.
And nowadays that we're an internet society, the information is much more accessible than it's ever been in the past. But if you don't know what you don't know, then you don't know what to go look for, right?
Yeah.
And so it is a little criminal to think that so much of our history, we have to go and research ourselves because it's not taught in any formal environment. Of course, you remember that the conquerors get to write the history book. Right. So, you know, that explains why it's not there.
So many folks know, you mentioned Christopher Columbus, and they're like, I know who that is. But you mentioned Bayard Rustin. And
they're like, huh?
Yeah.
There's so many names like that in our history. 7 years with Pride Northwest. So you're going to be the president next year, too?
As far as I know.
And what's been the biggest joy of putting this event together?
Seeing the impact that it has on people in the community.
Mm-hmm.
There can be a certain, as we make more progress, one of the things that happens is we get more comfortable, sometimes a little bit more jaded, a little bit more sort of expecting, like, oh, it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And we sort of forget that there's this constant generation coming up. There's a constant population of people who don't have the luxury that we have inside the, I call it the Portland bubble, who come, and for them, Pride is, it may be the only place they get to come to be themselves and to be safe in doing so. Mm-hmm. And it's always a real privilege for me and very humbling to be able to witness that every single year, because it's the reminder of why it's important that we're doing what we're doing.
That's right, right. And, you know, and I've met some high school kids in Eastern Oregon, quite frankly, that gave me that story about, you know, once a year, that's how they feel. It's like, you know, they come to Portland and they can kind of blend in.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all. Thank you so much, Walter, Nigel, for joining us by phone. Thank you so much, Deborah Porter. We'll see you next week, Walter. We'll see you soon, Deborah and Khalid. This is Joanne Hardesty. You've been listening to Voices from the Edge. See you next week, same time, same place, same station. Have a great day. Get up, stand up. Stand up.
And good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland, just about 9 o'clock on this Thursday morning, June 6th. Coming up in a half hour on Fight the Empire, host Per Fogering discusses a recent article by author and journalist Dr. Nafees Mossadegh Ahmed, and it's called UK Pays Price for MI5 Courting Terror. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 today, Flashpoints presents an update on the military whistleblower trial of Bradley Manning with civil rights attorney Bill Simplich. Actually, Simplich is his name. Courtroom artists Kay Rudin and journalist Norman Solomon. We also get an update on sectarian violence, which continues to grow in Iraq, with more than 1,000 people killed in May. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Sarika Mehta interviews Filipina writer Marivi Sullivan about her new novel, The Mango Bride. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, host Emma Jackson Ford, Patricia Welch, and O.B. Hill interview legendary author Maya Angelou about Mom and Me and Mom, her book about her relationship with her mother. That's all coming up, but first, in just a few seconds, it's Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell, and that's coming up on KBOO.
Native Americans account for less than 2% of Oregon's population, yet we make up greater than 4% of its prison population. I'm Trish Jordan of Red Lodge Transition Services. We began our work in Oregon prisons advocating for religious freedom and human rights. Join me on Prison Pipeline June 10th to hear how Red Lodge helps Native American women rebuild their lives after incarceration.